My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Why don't you just stand, clap your hands to Jesus, cry out to the Lord with all of your heart. Cry out with all of your heart. Cry out with all of your heart. God gave me a specific word for somebody today, and I didn't know if I was supposed to say it at the beginning or at the end of the message. Then I stepped out during the Sunday school lesson, and Brother Anthony Mitchell was telling us about how God always gives you a word that will keep you and that will guide you through every crisis. And he was on that rock, and it was, you know, he didn't know which way it was going, and it was kind of frightening, but God lifted handles up from the rock, and he grabbed a hold of it, and he gave him that hold that he needed. And so then they started singing this song about being liberated. But somebody came today. You have felt like your life is so marred and messed up that God could never be pleased with you again. And the Holy Ghost sent me to tell you, I take pleasure in you. I take pleasure in you. Man, that's just the first part, and y'all have already grabbed a hold of it. Looks like it's for all of you, I guess. I take pleasure in you. I am delighted in you. You have felt like your life is so marred that there is no beauty. But my Jesus sent me to tell you, I have beautified you with my salvation. I have robed you with my righteousness. I have robed you with my righteousness. And he has instructed me to tell you, pick up my sword. Pick up my two-edged sword. Pick it up. Pick it up. And know that the enemy has lied to you. And my word is true. The enemy has lied to you and said that you will not prosper. But I say, you will prosper. Do not be afraid of the lies of the enemy, but worship me. Worship me, and I will execute judgment upon the enemy, and I will bring about your victory in this place today. Somebody better take this word. God has come to liberate you from the lies of the enemy. By the authority of the word of God, And in the name of Jesus, he will execute it according to his will. Now, I was on the plane coming home from Providence, Rhode Island yesterday, and I had a message prepared for today. And then I got to reading the message, and then God gave me another scripture that wasn't in the message and began to explain that scripture to me. Just, wow. I said, you better run that by me one more time. I don't think I can get it that fast. So he did. And I was babysitting Brother Don Anderson and Brother Dennis Rabbit. They were on the plane with me, so I didn't get a chance to write it down. So when I prepare a message, I always ask three questions. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What are you doing? What do you want to do with this bunch that I have to preach to on Sunday morning? Help me, Jesus. Please help. So he started with what to do. He said, this is what I want to do. And this is my text. To free the oppressed. That's what I want to do. To free. Now this is amazing to me because I want to take you to Matthew 17, 24 real quickly. And I want to kind of share with you how the Lord open my understanding to it. And Jesus was a magnificent teacher. He was unbelievable. I mean, just powerful. I mean, everything he did had meaning and purpose and focus. He didn't just do things to be doing them. He did it for a purpose and a reason. And it was recorded so that we could learn from it. Not just say, oh, isn't that amazing? And it is amazing, and I want you to be amazed at what he did in the scripture. But I also want you to be instructed and to know that what he did then, he can do now. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Simon Peter and said, does your master pay taxes? Or does your master pay tribute? And of course, you know, Simon Peter, he's always running his mouth. And he immediately said yes. Then he went to the house to make sure it was true. You better be careful how you speak for Jesus when you haven't spoken to Jesus. We got too many Pentecostals speaking for God that haven't been talking to God. So be careful. Make sure that whatever you say represents him correctly and is the truth. And so Jesus prevented him saying, I know what you're going to ask me, brother. And I know you've already overstepped your bounds, your authority, but what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom did the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their children or of strangers? And Peter said unto him, of strangers. And Jesus said, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, take up the fish that first cometh, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, you see, I would think, and you would think, that freedom would mean that we wouldn't have to pay the tax, that we're not under the authority of the kings of the earth. That their oppression and their unjust, unfair system, that we would be free from the system that was then. And it was very unjust. It was diabolical. It was immoral. It was ungodly. And yet they were living in that system. And Jesus wasn't challenging the system. He was showing him the true freedom is not being freed from an oppressive system, but he connected him to the true source of the real power, which was the supernatural provision that God made. Go fishing. You know how to do that, don't you? And he did. Cast in a hook. Said, I don't want you to use your net. We're going to do a new thing. Get your Zebco. Get your rod and reel. Get your hook. And I want you to take the first fish that comes. And there's going to be money in the mouth. And you're going to pay for me and for you. Because true freedom, is not if you defeat every enemy that oppresses you, but that you can operate in power because you know the true source of your authority and power. And I've just come to tell somebody, his name is Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated to free the oppressed. Here's how I know you're in bondage. It's not because you're being oppressed by some outside force, because you have power over the devil. Satan's already been defeated at the cross, and the blood of Jesus has already washed away all of your sins. But when you try to be self-sufficient and self-reliant and rely on your own strength, you're in bondage. You need to be freed from that, because you can't do this by yourself. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you can't free yourself from your sin. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You can't overcome the temptations of this world. That's why you need to be filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. Is anybody glad that they've got the Holy Ghost in fire? I wish somebody would act like you got it this morning. You just received a personal word from God, and God is ready to execute judgment if you'll just stand up and believe it. Second temptation that you have, and that is evidence of your bondage, is that you want to be spectacular. That God's got to do something spectacular. It's not, oh, I could just go fishing. and I just do what I know how to do, and just I just have to change methods. I'm not going to use my nets. I'm going to use my Zebco. I mean, that's the only rod and reel that I know. Is there another one out there? Because y'all don't look like y'all know what a Zebco is. But nevertheless, I know what to do, and it's not a spectacular thing, but he sent me out on my mission, and he told me to follow his word. You may not always have the special meeting to go to get your good feeling, but if you've always got a word, I said, if you've always got a word, you've got the power to break every bondage. You've got the power to overcome every negative statement that is spoken to you by any negative human being on the planet, because they're not in charge of nothing. Third way I know you're in bondage is that you feel like you have to be powerful or in charge. And you don't have to be powerful or in charge. You know, I got to feel the power. No, you just need the word. You say, oh, I've got to feel something. You don't need to feel anything. If you got the word of God, I think you ought to use your two-edged sword, because that word cuts in heaven, it cuts in hell, and it cuts on the earth. That sword has power to execute the judgment that has been written in this book. I don't need a special this or a special that. I've got Jesus and his word, and his word is true. Somebody gonna get free in this place.
Somebody's going to be free from the drugs and the temptation and the bondage and the things that have held you captive and the negative feelings that you've got about yourself because your life is messed up. But I serve an almighty God.
So here's your freedom. Here's freedom. Know where your power is. And so I'm going to just show you where your power is. I'm just going to read it to you right out of the Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, 5. I'm just going to read it to you. For, here's bondage. If you're preaching yourself, you're in bondage. If you're trying to do it yourself, you're in bondage. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here's what you preach. You and I preach Jesus. Say, how do I know that I can worship God? Because Jesus. How do I know that I've got freedom today when I don't feel powerful? Jesus. How do I know that I can have my sins forgiven? His name is Jesus. How do I know I can clap my hands when I don't feel worthy? Jesus. How do I know I can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? The Baptists say we can't get it. Other denominations say we can't get it. How do I know? Jesus. They ain't got nothing to do with whether you get the Holy Ghost. This book has... I said they ain't got nothing to do with it. Their theology can't stop you from experiencing what Jesus died on a cross to give you. Jesus died on the cross. I said Jesus died on the cross. And somebody needs to rise up here. You might be weak. You may not have any strength. But my strength does not rest in the power of men. It rests in the power of God. So Jesus modeled this freedom because he knew he was going to the cross and he was going to have to submit to the Roman government, which would unjustly try him and accept false accusation against him. And based on their false witnesses, he executed Jesus. Not a very good thing to do, is it? Jesus knew he was about to be subjected to that kind of oppression, and yet he was still free. He was free to choose and call 10,000 angels if he wanted to at any moment to defeat the Roman Empire and the Roman government and come down from that cross and whoop everything in the house. He could have done it. He could have pulled a John Wayne on every one of them. He had the power to do it. If the Bible is true, and I believe that it is, he had the power to do it, but he didn't do it because he was free. He was truly free. And here's the reason why. In John 13, the most perfect model of the kind of freedom that I'm talking about, he was faced with execution. He knew what was about to happen. But motivated by love, he decides that he's going to take a towel and wash his disciples' feet. You see, here's what I'm trying to tell you, Pentecostals, and you got to understand, you'll never be free until you learn how to serve God because you love him. You can, I've watched people, and I've been in church all of my life, and I just mean this as serious as I can. I've watched people jump in these altars and shout in altars all over the world and then walk out and do all kinds of craziness and not one ounce of transformation in their life, because you can't just simply respond to the beat of the music and be transformed. But when you worship God because you love him, when you praise God because you love him, when you give glory unto the Lord because you love him with all of your soul, mind, and strength,
then there's something that frees you up. I praise you, Jesus, because I know what you did for me at Calvary. I know what you did for me when you gave me the Holy Ghost when I was 11 years old, and I've still got it. I've still got it. And guess what, church? It's real. It's not fake. It's not just Pentecostalism. It's not just Southern emotion. We were in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and the Holy Ghost fell up there just like it fell down here. And in the midst of all the intelligentsia, people were shouting and running and praising God because of the love. Hallelujah. Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world, but he loved his own which were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. The devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, and yet he still loved him. Now that's really, that's true freedom right there. He loved his own. He knew where he belonged. Listen, if you're hurt, the last thing you need to do is stay out of church. If you're wounded, the last thing you need to do is quit worshiping. If somebody has messed you up or you're under some oppressive system, the last ever loving thing you want to do is to quit loving. You better know where you belong. You belong in this church. You belong involved. You belong in... I'm tired. I just don't have anything to give. Do you have Jesus? You didn't have nothing to give before you got hurt. And you ain't having nothing to give after you get healed. The only thing I've got is Jesus. Woo! But I've got a Jesus. I've got a Jesus that can conquer the grave. I got a Jesus that can resurrect you. I got a Jesus that can anoint you here today. I got a Jesus that can pull you out of a car wreck. I got a Jesus that can give you power. I've got a Jesus. I magnify my Lord and Savior. The Bible says he continued to love them. That's what John 13 said. He continued to love them. He loved them even unto the end. I mean, that's pretty good. And so what you need to learn to do, if you're going to be truly free, oh, I'm free. I came down to the altar and I felt the power of God. No, that's not freedom. Freedom is when I love Jesus unto the end. But that love's got to be unconditional. That means you've got to be able to worship with Judas sitting right next to you. See, that makes all the difference in the world, because anybody can do this. Now, Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, and he still washed his feet. Well, I want to be free. Well, this is true freedom right here. Well, I'm there's just no way in the world I can worship with that Judas sitting right next to me. Well, then get really excited and you just act like you were shouting and just hit him real hard. Whoa! Bam, bam, bam. Hallelujah. Works for me. Go ahead. That means you ought to be able to worship with Judas sitting right there on your lap. You ought to be able to wash his feet. Jesus knew he was going to betray him. The disciples did not, but he still washed his feet. That's true freedom. You want to be free? You ought to be able to do what you're doing under the most difficult circumstances. Jesus was facing execution, and because he was God, he had the foreknowledge to know exactly what he was about to go through. But even in his most difficult hour, when he didn't have anything physically to give, he still worshiped and washed their feet. Wow. So the excuse, I'm going through a difficult time. Boy, it sure is quiet. You just thought you wanted to be free. I gave you the word and y'all all shouted and now you're sitting down on me and I'm up here telling you exactly what'll set you free. Right now, you'll be the most free person in this place if you can say, I might be going through the most difficult time in my life, but I still have Jesus. And if I've got him, I've got everything. Now get them hands together and start. But so-and-so said I was a meathead. Yeah, you are a meathead. But Jesus died for you, meathead, and God can forgive you of your sin and transform your life. Why can't you praise the Lord? Woo! Now, this is amazing to me because I've heard all of my life that these Yankees don't worship God. And so I go up to Massachusetts, Providence, and I'm in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm in the very elite of the elite. I mean, we're just a few miles away from Newport with the Vanderbilts and the Astors. Jay Leno has a big old spread out there, 70-something million dollars worth of whatever. Hallelujah, that's good stuff. Beautiful. Wow, look at all of that. And I'm right in the middle of it. And while I'm preaching, somebody gets this sign that has Jesus on it. And it's a flowing banner. And they start running around the church with Jesus stuck up in the air. I said, man, where's your sign at? Praise God. Somebody ought to get the sign out and say, I got a Jesus. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, church. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I believe in the power of the one God. Love will free you when you love it enough. But you have to be secure enough because some people aren't secure enough. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands. How can he wash people's feet? How can he wash and still love Judas Iscariot? How can he do this in his most difficult hour? Because he knew who he was. And he knew that God had given him all things. Whew. He knew that he came from God and he's going back to God. He knew his position, and he didn't have to flaunt it. He knew his calling and was willing to be faithful to it. And he knew his future and was willing to submit to it. Because he knew, though he went into the grave, the Bible said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. That was a prophetic word spoken hundreds of years before he was born. But he trusted, oh my goodness, he trusted that God was true to his word. Oh, I thought you wanted to be free. But you see, no, I can't wash that person's feet because they don't like me. I can't worship God because, you know, I got hurt 30 years ago. And all of this kind of nonsense. And I'm not saying you didn't get hurt, and I'm not trying to make light of your pain or anything that you've gone through, but I'm just simply saying that Jesus gives us a security that frees us to where we don't have to have a particular position to worship God. Why did you need a position before you can get excited about Jesus? Why do you already know you've got all things? I said you've got all things. You've got all things. The Bible says you have all things. All things have been given unto him, and we are joint heirs with him, and so he in turn has given us all things. He told that to the Corinthian church, and that's still true right now for the First Pentecostal church. You've got all things. That means you've got forgiveness, you've got healing, you've got righteousness, you've got peace, you've got joy, you've got hope, you've got it, not tomorrow, now. Now are we the sons of God. Woo! I tell you what, I'm about to shout on my own sermon. And you need to get a hold of this, because this is what's keeping people back. Because Jesus was there to give something, not to gain something. And as long as you've got the mentality that I need to receive something here today, you'll never be free. But when you walk in and say, I got something to give. I can't wait to give. Woo! Everybody say, I can't wait to hear what's going to be said. No, I can't wait to give my praise. No, you got it wrong. If you're waiting on receiving something, you're in bondage. But if you want to give something, I want to know, does anybody have something to give? I ought to point at you and you ought to get up and start praising him. Point at you and you ought to stand up and say, whoa, hallelujah. Freedom is. He was so free, he could do two things at once. He could stretch and he could stoop at the same time. Wow. I'm 62. That's going to be a little difficult for me. Jesus was 33. Not quite half my age. I'm still a young man. Okay, praise God. But he stretched and stooped. Try that five times. And if you can get back up after the fifth time, there's, Brother David, there's $20 waiting on you. Praise God. Stretch and stoop at the same time. He could reach for Judas. Don't tell me Jesus wouldn't forgive Judas if he'd have come back. Don't tell me Jesus wouldn't have forgiven him, because that's not true. Jesus would have forgiven Judas if he'd have come back and said, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Jesus can stretch and stoop at the same time and it not change who he is. He's still the God Almighty manifested in the flesh. And when you submit to authority and worship your God, you're not losing your identity. You're finding your identity. You're gaining, not losing anything. My, I'm not even halfway through this. Man, I got this on the plane, and I was even sitting next to our former mayor of Pensacola, Ashton. Oh, Brother Ashton. And God was still speaking. You know there's a God. Hallelujah. I was picking at him. And the Holy Ghost was moving on me, and I had my computer, and I was trying to get it all down, and I was trying to get it. But you see, Jesus did something that you need to learn how to do if you want to be free. Is that Jesus didn't wait for somebody else to do the washing of the feet. Because Jesus gave them instructions to prepare for that meal. He gave them specific instructions, told them where to go, told them who to go to, told them what to do. If you read it in the text, and I could go through all of that, but you can read that in your daily Bible reading. And just go through all of it, and you can see that Jesus set them up, and they didn't provide anybody, because it was the job of the lowest of the servants to wash somebody's feet. And do you think one of those disciples were going to take up that responsibility? They had too much to lose of image among themselves. And how many Pentecostals are missing what God is wanting to do in your life because you're afraid your image is going to get tarnished with people around you who are going to make fun of you because you hunger for God? oh, well, when so-and-so gets it and when such-and-such starts praising God, that's when I'll do. When the choir starts singing, I'll praise God. Not Jesus. He initiates it. Woo! Sharamakaya. Hallelujah. Don, come give me your coat. That's it. I ought to at least get a coat out of that deal. Praise God. Give me your coat. Nobody would do it. Nobody would worship God. Nobody would praise the Lord. What you got in here? Man, it's heavy. Oh, you got a crazy phone. Hallelujah. I don't want that. Praise God. I threw it right to him. That was a good pass. Underhanded as well, and he still didn't catch it. So don't blame me if it's broken. Hallelujah. Hope you got insurance on it. That's all I got. But he initiated it. He didn't wait for anybody to say, well, Jesus, there ain't nobody here to worship God. It's just not here. The singers didn't sing good enough, and the preacher didn't preach good enough, and so-and-so, and it's too cold, and it's too hot, and it's too loud. I can't hear, can't do this, can't do that. And then they got one excuse after another. No wonder you're in bondage. No wonder you can't get God to heal you. No wonder you can't get a miracle in your life. You haven't started anything your whole life long, but you need to start this. When nobody else worships God. When nobody else, when Brother Wilson won't even worship God. Brother Wilson is about as close to a first responder as I have in this church. And even if he don't respond, I'm going to praise the Lord. Because it ain't got nothing to do with Brother Wilson or whether performance or what's going on here. But it's got everything to do with my Jesus. Okay. It's got everything to do with my Jesus. So I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm going to wash his feet. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to wash his feet. I'm going to let him know he's still loved by an almighty God. He can still, my son, I wish somebody would praise him here today. I wish somebody would reach out. I wish somebody would say, I'm going to initiate it. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. No, Jesus is too busy, Bartimaeus, but he cried out the more. How many times have I hesitated because of peer pressure? God has not given us a spirit of fear. That word fear doesn't mean to be scared. It means timidity. Y'all can stand. I'm done. It means timidity. It means afraid to stand out. Shy. I don't want to be the first one because I'm afraid it'll be wrong. I'm afraid somebody's going to call me down. Who cares? They called them down. Disciples, I'm talking about the 12. You expect it from Judas, but you don't expect it from Simon Peter and James and John, the ones that wrote the New Testament. Or some of it, not all of it, of course. Paul wrote as well, but James and John and Peter wrote New Testament, some of the books. They tried to shut him up. Stop him. He's bothering the master. The disciples were so busy to get to Jairus' house so he could heal that girl. They didn't even recognize this woman with the issue of blood. And yet Jesus says, stopped everybody and said, virtues. Jesus, I mean, that's impossible. There are so many people thronging you. There is no way we'll ever know who touched you because everybody pulling. But he recognized a different kind of touch.
room.
I love you. I have spoken to you. I have given you my word. I will receive you today. Receive this word by faith. And if you love me, respond to my word in faith, and it shall be done, even as it has been spoken. Oh, Kaya Rabo Siyadadiya. Don't hesitate. Oh. First responders. First responders. I initiate. I don't react. I proact. I initiate. Initiate it. Initiate it. Quit worrying about who's going to reject you if you worship God, or if you act like you want the church to succeed, or if you act like somebody's going to get blessed that somebody else don't like. Quit worrying about all that mess. And start loving people. I want everyone that can, if you would, I want you to come and stand in the front with me. I want you to come here because God wants to free the oppressed. I want all of my intercessors, if you would come and just stand in your places up here, because I feel like somebody needs a deliverance. Somebody needs a miracle in their life right now, and you can't wait. I said you can't wait. And if y'all would just step back one step, just one step, just kind of clear that there. That's it. That's all you got to do. You're good. And you see all of these intercessors that are here that'll pray with you. All they're lined up here. I want you to, it doesn't make any difference who you go to, but I want you to find somebody. If you need a miracle, if you need a blessing of the Lord, if you need God to do something in your life, he told me he wanted to do that. That was the first thing he said, to free the oppressed. But I had to tell you what that kind of freedom that I'm talking about. You need to get free from all of these self-made prisons that we've got built in our life that are holding us captive and keeping us from being what God wants us to be. I want you to step out by faith, and I want you to come up here, and I want you to stand with these precious people and let them lay hands on you and pray with you in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Don't let pride stand in your way. Don't let anything stop you. Kaya Rabo Satabalalalalalia Rama. Kaya Rabo Satabaya Ria. Go ahead. Go ahead. I want you to cry out like this is your last day on earth, and you need to touch God. You need to receive from the Lord what He has to give. I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to be intimidated by the crowd. I don't want you to be intimidated by what anybody's going to think about you. I want you to connect.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.